Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on two tunics. I don't know about you, but when I travel, I have a real problem with traveling light. When I'm packing for a trip, I will often start looking at the things that I need to take with me, and I'll start packing, and I might start with a very small bag, but I'll end up having to get one with rollers that I can drag rolling through the airport with me, but when I try to pick it up, my goodness, I'll have a hernia. Bag like this one, nice heavy bag. It will fit in the overhead compartment if I push really hard and pray really hard. Could you give me one of those chairs and put it in the middle here? Nice bags with rollers on it. I see people walking through airports with bags and with bags mounted on top. And one day I saw a woman walking along pushing it. And I thought, man, that's a neat way to do it. You keep it in front of you. There's no way you could lose anything. When we make trips, we pack just all sorts of stuff. I don't know about you, but I'm always worried that I might need something. So I'll pack some of the strangest things for my trips. Let's take a look at what I have packed for this trip. Oh my goodness, you never know. You might need extra clothes, books to read if you get bored, a leash to walk the dog or the associate pastor, a portable auxiliary computer, for accessing the internet. Oh, a friend if you get lonely. Aw, yes. A camera to take pictures of neat things and strange-looking people. Oh, my goodness. If you get thirsty, you Coke. Let the record show that that was a Coke and not a can of beer. And a diet one at that, yes. A sweater if you get cold. A telephone to phone home. An iPod if you get lonely or tired and want to listen to music. Mouthwash to make sure that your breath is nice in case you want to kiss some girls. Another book if you get bored. Let's see, a hat to wear on my head, and advertise the cruise line I work for sometimes. Holy hardware, in case you need something to keep away the demons. Father Brian, who was a monk at the society where I was entering the ministry, I was a novice for a period of time in a monastic community, and he used to call crosses like this holy hardware. It has its purpose, I suppose. Another book in case you get bored. More clothes. All sorts of stuff. All sorts of stuff. When we travel, we don't pack light. I certainly don't. When I travel, I often think of all the things I might possibly need, then add the things that I might possibly want, then add the things that I might wish I had if I was halfway around the world, add the things that if I don't take them, well, you know, I might miss them. And over time, I end up filling a bag, and I still don't have everything packed that I need. Jesus had an answer to this insanity, to this madness of trying to cover all your bases and pack all your stuff. Jesus had an answer, a very simple one at that. He said, "All you need is me." You don't need clothing. You don't need a bag. You don't need anything but your staff And that staff is a symbol of leaning on Him. All we need for our journey in this life, for our mission and our ministry in this life, all we need is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now, my friends, the message could end there, and I could sit down, and Peggy would applaud and give me a standing ovation, because she's been challenging me to preach a 5-minute message. Sorry, I'm not going to have, don't you amen her? Don't you amen her? I'm going to pack my bag and go home if you're going to do that to me. Amen.
Bag's already packed.
Y'all are cruel. You're being mean to me. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no Coke cans, no laptop computers, no cameras, no monies for their belt. Yes, that wasn't, this is the GNV paraphrastic. No money for their belt, but to wear sandals. I left my sandals on the Nordam. I got to buy a new pair. But to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. Don't wear 2 sets of clothing. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. They didn't need the stuff that most people need when they travel. They didn't need the junk. They didn't even need the holy hardware. All they needed was Jesus. And all we need is Jesus.
Amen.
I want you to say that with me. All we need is Jesus. Again. All we need is Jesus. Again. All we need is Jesus. Again. All we need is Jesus. Now, do we believe it? We face some pretty big obstacles, friends. We face opposition. We face hurdles to overcome. We face all sorts of unexpected trials and tribulations. We might need some of this stuff. We might need some rest and relaxation. We might need a little fuzzy, sweet little teddy bear. No. All we need is Jesus.
Amen.
All we need is Jesus.
Amen.
I like my fuzzy bear. Hush. All we need is Jesus. You know, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you moved way over there. She moved 2 chairs away from Jim.
My mama didn't raise
a fool. No, she didn't. All we need, my brothers and sisters, is Jesus. We don't need the stuff. We might want the stuff. We might want the warm fuzzies that we get from little stuffed bears. We might want the holy hardware, and that's not so bad. We might want the iPods to listen to our music. We might want the cameras to take the pictures. We might want all of the trappings of the religious life. We might want all of the trappings of the life that, you know, not even anything special, just a t-shirt to wear. No, my friends, Jesus said, all we need is Him. There's nothing wrong with the trappings. There's nothing wrong with the clothing. There's nothing wrong with the leash to walk your dog or your associate pastor. There is something wrong with the laptop computer. That's like a ball and chain.
Amen.
But my friends, while there may be nothing wrong with the trappings, with the bag, with all of the stuff, in truth, all we need is Jesus, even though we face some great big obstacles. Indeed, because we face great big obstacles, all we need is Jesus. What did the disciples face? They faced opposition from the Jewish authorities. They faced opposition from the leaders of the synagogues. They faced oppositions from the people who lived in the communities. But most especially, they faced opposition from the demons, from the messengers of Satan, from those who stood there and said to them, "You cannot be proclaiming this message. You cannot proclaim repentance, and you cannot offer forgiveness, and you cannot heal, and you cannot deliver, because you don't have the right or the power or the authority to do that. Because you're not one of us." No. All they needed and all we need is Jesus. And He gives us the authority. He gives us the power. He gives us the ability to change everything. To change the world. Paul was about changing the world. Paul's message and ministry was converting Gentiles to Christianity. There were Jewish Christians who were trying to keep Christianity a sect or denomination of Judaism. There were Jewish Christians who were trying to keep Christianity and the message of Jesus simply the purview of the Jewish people. And Paul was taking the message, and he was taking it to the Gentiles as a new creation, as a new beginning, as a new testament, as a new covenant relationship with God. Not a continuation of the old, not a completion even of the old, but of a new beginning. No longer do we relate to God by law. We now relate to God by faith in Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, not by obeying the law. Paul's message, therefore, encountered great opposition. Opposition amongst the Jews, who didn't like Gentiles. Opposition amongst the Jewish Christians, who were trying to keep control over this denomination, if you will. Opposition from the Gentile authorities, who viewed the message about Jesus as insanity. This guy had been crucified as a political criminal by the Roman authorities themselves. How can you possibly follow this criminal? That would be like people today following Timothy McVeigh. So he had opposition from all quarters. Not a surprise. He had opposition too from the headquarters of all opposition, Satan himself. Paul tells the story. To keep me from being too elated. This is from the reading from 2 Corinthians today. To keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Now, there's been lots of theory and lots of speculation as to what this thorn in the flesh was. Some scholars think it was the leftover damage done to his eyes when he was encountered by Jesus on the road to Damascus and blinded, and that he had pussy eyes or something as a result, and that was his thorn. Others speculate that his thorn was a speech impediment. Some even claim that Paul's thorn in the flesh was the speculation that he might have been a homosexual. All that nonsense and that junk misses the point and doesn't even pay attention to what Paul himself said. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. The Greek phrase is angelos satana, a angel, a demon, or Satan. His thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan, a demon. Much like the demons that the apostles were facing as they were out preaching when Jesus sent them out in their ministry. in which they delivered people from, in which Jesus delivered people from. An angelos satanas, a messenger, an angel of Satan, to keep him from being too elated, to keep him from glorying in the message and in the success of the message and of the glorious things that he saw and the wonderful things that God had shown him about what we can expect in glory everlasting. He was given this messenger of Satan to keep him from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. He asked three times that he would be relieved of this demon that was opposing him, that was giving him a message from Satan to keep him from being too elated. I've speculated in the past about what that message might have been. Remember, Paul started out as a persecutor of the church. He opposed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He opposed the ministry of the apostles. He was preaching and teaching against the church and arresting people who were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was fighting against Jesus and was on his way to Damascus to arrest a bunch of them when Jesus intercepted him and converted him into the greatest apostle of the church. However, that message, the story of him being an opponent of the church, the story of him being a persecutor of the church, continued to follow him around. And Jewish Christians who opposed his ministry in the church would say, he didn't tell you this, but he used to oppose the church. He used to preach against Jesus. So you really can't trust him. He must have viewed many of those voices speaking against him as being messengers of Satan, thorns in the flesh, painful reminders of what he had done. And he prayed three times that he would be relieved of this opposition, of this dreadful memory, of this thorn in his flesh, of this continual reminder that he had opposed Christ before Christ had converted him. And Jesus' response to him speaks volumes. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. He prayed, relieve me of this thorn in the flesh. Relieve me of this messenger of Satan. Relieve me of this opposition, which is continually reminding me that I oppose the church. And Jesus' answer is our answer, the answer we need and hear and receive. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power, implied, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what your past is. Doesn't matter who you are, what you were, what you may have done. Rose, doesn't matter what you've done in your past. Doesn't matter, Crystal, what you have done in your past. Gene, doesn't matter what you did when you were young and foolish. Dale, doesn't matter what you did. Brenda, Billy, Dalton, Charles, LaWanda, Peggy, Weldon, Carol, Jose, Gene and Gracie and Chris, doesn't matter. And Greg, doesn't matter. What you did, who you were, it doesn't matter. My grace is sufficient for you. Amen indeed, and thank goodness indeed. Because if it mattered who we were and what we did, we'd all be lost. Cecil, if it mattered, we would be in trouble. All of us. But Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. Oh, that's good news. That is good news. My grace is sufficient for you. You can pack your stuff and you can think your stuff is going to help you, but in the end, all we need is Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. But we face demons. We need holy hardware. We need stuff to help us out. We need extra clothing and stuff to comfort us and these wonderful bears to hold on to when we're afraid. My grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness. You don't need the stuff. All you need is Jesus. All we need is Jesus. And it is because we face great hurdles. It is because we face great opposition. It is because we face the Prince of Darkness grim, as Luther said in his hymn. We tremble not for him, because we have, and all we ever need, is Jesus. Give thanks and praise to God. That no matter what demon you may face, no matter what messenger of Satan you may face that's whispering in your ear saying, you'll never measure up, you'll never be able to be good enough, you'll never be able to live down what you did in your past, you'll never be able to make up and atone for all the evil, horrible things you did in your stupid youth. Indeed, last week, you'll never be able to get over this. Don't listen to the messenger of Satan. Listen to Jesus who says, my grace is sufficient for you.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.